and welcome once again to Shepherd's Staff. I'm Apostle Paul D. Young, and here bringing you some help for pastors, for church leaders. Each week we draw on the Word of God. We draw on my ministry experience, which has been quite a few years. We're working on 48. And I want to help, equip, and challenge, and mentor you for the work God has called you to do. Now, the easiest way, if you're going to refer us, is send people to our website, wolife.org. That's just short for Word of Life, wolife.org. And there's a button right at the top of the page, just a little to the right, that'll say free resources. You hit that, and right there will be a menu you can choose that'll give you the links to Shepherd Staff, whether on YouTube or on Rumble. And very shortly, we're going to be having, we already do have it available on podcast. We're going to get that on the website as well. But we're available on iTunes and many other podcast platforms right now. So if that works for you, you can plug it in, listen to it in your car. That's good. That's good. Now, if you go to YouTube or Rumble, hit the like and the subscribe button. That'll help. It helps more people to find us when you do that. It also sends you notifications as to when we release the new Shepherd Staff sessions, which are usually released on Friday morning because I record them on Wednesday afternoon. Well, it's good to have you here. Let's get back into what we started last week. We started into an area that I call set in order. It's out of Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5. It says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Well, Paul sent Titus to Crete. Titus was Paul's troubleshooter, and he was the no-nonsense guy. He came in and said, "Sit down, shut up, and listen, and straighten things out, help in the ministry." And he pastored the churches there in Crete for a time, under the direction of Paul. So we started last week into this, set in order, scriptural church government. What does the Bible say about this area of church government? How is a church supposed to be governed? And we're looking for principles. We're looking for principles. And last week we established the first principle out of Ephesians chapter 4:11 and other scriptures, that is this: the one who does the calling is in authority over the one who is called. Now, that's a very simple thing, and we recognize this in the natural. An employer calls an employee, so the employer is in authority over the employee. Well, that is not just a natural principle, or should be, but it's a scriptural principle. It governs things in the Word of God and in the church. It's supposed to govern things in the church. Because we saw that Jesus called the fivefold ministry gifts, including pastor. So Jesus is in authority over those that he has called. Now, you'll see as we go further along here how important that is. See, it's imperative that we identify these principles and then apply them to this area of the church and church government. Because see, if you don't have the principles, the underlying principles, you can get into the weeds pretty quick and things can get out of whack. So let's just continue here. So we established that last time. And now we're looking at what about apostles, pastors, and all of this. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 and 2. First Peter chapter 5, and it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." Now notice in verse number 2, it says, feed the flock of God. Now that word feed is the Greek word for pastor or shepherd, poimen. It is the apostle Peter is a pastor, and he's also called an elder. Now, whenever the word is talking about an elder, it can be talking about an elder, someone who is elderly. In other words, just they're older. There are verses that refer to that. It can be talking about the office of an elder. That's someone that has been put into that particular office. Or it can be talking about the chief elder or the pastor. And the only way you know which it is by the context. It's very similar to the word spirit or pneuma. In the Greek, if you dig into it in either Vines or Strong's or any of the Greek study helps from people who know Greek and read it fluently, they will tell you that the word pneuma, spirit, you only know what spirit it's referring to by the context. In other words, if it says Holy Spirit, then that's pretty clear, talking about the Spirit of God. But the word spirit also can refer to the spirit of man. We are a spirit, have a soul, live in a body. Or it can be referring to an angel, which is a spirit, or a demon, which is a spirit. So which is it? And you only know by the context. So you have to read in the verse or verses and figure out which one of these it is talking about. So the word elder is very similar in that we only know which application of this word elder it is by the context. Now here, Peter says, I am also an elder. He's a pastor. But he says, I'm an elder. Then he says, feed the flock, or pastor the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. The pastor is to take oversight or leadership. The pastor is the highest authority in the local church under Jesus Christ. Now, verse 3 says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. In other words, you're not a dictator. As a pastor, you're not a dictator. You're not a tyrant over the flock of God. No, it's over God's heritage. Not my heritage. It's God's. The sheep are not mine as a pastor. If you're a pastor, the sheep aren't yours. They belong to God. No, you are to be an example, it says, as a pastor over the flock of God. Then verse 4 says, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, the word shepherd there, when it says chief shepherd, is the word poimen, which is pastor. Pastor. Same word that we read back here in verse number 2 when it said feed. That's the word poimen, or pastor. But now it says chief shepherd, which lets us know that Jesus is the chief shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He's the one that's going to appear. So if Jesus is the chief shepherd or the chief pastor, then the one that is called to pastor should be the chief elder or bishop. That is the chief leader. So let's go over to Acts chapter number 20 to illustrate this. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 17. And it says there, "And from Miletus he sent," Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." So Miletus is about 30 miles from Ephesus. And Paul called for the pastors to come. He was calling for a pastor's convention, a pastor's conference, as it were. Now, when it says he called the elders of the church. Now, he's calling for the chief elders of the church, the pastors. There was many churches in Ephesus. Now, how do we know that these are pastors that Paul is calling? Because it says, verse 17, if we just look at verse 17, we don't know. Because it says he called the elders of the church. But if you go down to verse number 28, same chapter, as Paul is admonishing them and teaching them and mentoring them, he says in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." So he's speaking to elders, but which elders are these? Are these chief elders? Well, we know that because it says that the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed. The word feed is poimen, pastor or shepherd, the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So this designates these men as pastors. So a pastor is also called a chief elder. Interesting. Now we'll see some more as we go along. Now Acts chapter 15, just a few pages back. Let's turn back there. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 6. Okay, one more page. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 6. It says, "And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter." Now, there was a question of whether or not the gospel should be preached to the Gentiles. Because you remember, Jesus told the apostles, the disciples, he told them, don't go to the Gentiles. Only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's where they were supposed to go. So, that's all they went. But then when he gave the commission and he told them to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, many of them were still stuck on just to Jews. And then Peter had the vision of the sheet coming down and all the unclean animals. And the voice saying, "Rise, kill, and eat." And he said, "No, I'm not killing anything like that. I don't eat unclean stuff." And then God said to him, "Don't you call common or unclean what I have cleansed." And then the messenger showed up from the centurion's house that the angel had told them to go and send for Peter. And Peter comes with some of his helpers, and they come. And he starts to preach to them, and they get saved, and they get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And Peter going, "Whoa, I guess this is to the Gentiles as well." And now he's coming back, and the whole group is going to have to consider this, because some of them are still like, "No, we're not supposed to go to the Gentiles." But the point here is this. It says in verse 6, "And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider this matter." Now, one stands up to represent the apostles. They have leaders on both sides. In verse number 7, "When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." So somebody stands up to represent the apostles. And then if you go down to verse 13, and it says, and after they had held their peace, James answered and said, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now, James is understood from the word of God that he was the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. So he was pastoring there, and he stood up to represent the elders. The elders, because he was a chief elder in the church at Jerusalem. Then if we go to Acts chapter 21, Acts chapter 21, and verse number 18. It says, well, we'll start 17. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Why does it mention James? It's because he was the pastor. Now, there was other elders, but he was the chief elder or the pastor of that church. Now, if we go back to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 1, we were just there. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Then he says, pastor of the flock of God. Peter was a pastor. Do you remember how Jesus had told him when he met with him after the resurrection? He said, feed my sheep. The word feed there in that passage means pastor my sheep. Peter was called as a pastor, and he was pastoring. So Peter was a chief elder. Now, so we've established that there are pastors, chief elders. Now let's look at the area of bishops and elders. We're talking about church government here. And it's important we understand each of these roles and offices that are set out in the Word of God. So the word elder, we're going to go to Hebrews chapter 13 here just shortly. But the word elder is the Greek word presbyteros, and the definition of that word, elder, is this: a term of rank or office, age. So it can be someone is elderly or an office. And it goes on to say, among the Christians, those who presided over the assemblies or congregations. So then we're talking about leadership. The New Testament uses the term bishops, elders, and presbyters interchangeably. So whenever you see the term bishop, elder, or presbyter, it's all coming from the same word, presbyteros. The word bishop is the word where is normally translated into overseer. Now, we'll look at that in just a minute. So what does an elder do? What does an elder do? Well, Hebrews 13 and verse number 7 says, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. Rule means to speak the word of God, the spoken the word. The two primary functions of a bishop or an elder are to, number one, rule, that is delegated authority, and teach. Rule and teach. I remember one time, a place I pastored, this is before I learned what I'm teaching you here, but I had a man on the board, and he told me, oh, no, I don't like to teach. I can't teach. I'm not going to teach. Well, then, according to the word, the two functions of an elder are rule, have authority, and teach. So he was disqualifying himself from that role of being an elder in that church. So rule and teach. Now, this is the difference between someone who is an elder by reason of just maturity or age and the office of an elder. So not everybody that's elderly is in the office of an elder. The office of an elder is those who rule and teach, and we'll see who chooses the elders in just a moment. We'll get to that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 12. Let's go there. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 12. And it says, "We beseech you, brethren, know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." Now the word, the phrase "over you" is the Greek word which means ruling, admonishing, or teaching. All right. Then let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 3. There we go. And verse number 1. Might help if I was in 1 Timothy instead of Titus. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. Here we go. "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop," now remember that word bishop could also be translated elder, but an elder with oversight, "he desireth a good work." A bishop is an elder. Now, Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words says this: "The word elder indicates maturity in experience, indicating authority, and understanding," that is teaching. "Whereas the word bishop indicates the character of the work undertaken, which is oversight." So, if we're talking about a bishop, now I know the word bishop has been used a lot of different ways in the church today, but I'm just talking about what it says here in the word. The Greek language for bishop indicates an elder that has oversight. Now, here at our church, we have, we often call them staff members. We have three members of a staff in our church here. Technically, those three that I have chosen to serve me on my staff, those three are bishops. They are elders that have taken oversight because I have appointed them into that role. So now we don't go around calling them Bishop Darry or Bishop David or Matt, whatever, just because there's so much confusion on the term of bishop and how people use it. But really, that's technically, that is the correct term. Now, notice in verse number 2, "A bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." They have to teach. If you're not going to teach, you can't be in this leadership role or this office. Verse number 5, jump down to verse 5. "For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?" The word "rule" means authority. Now here, this is interesting. If he doesn't take authority in his own house, and doesn't have authority in position, in his marriage and over his children, then he is disqualified to serve in that position of ruling, of having authority and teaching in the church. Now, people, if we got people in these positions that don't meet the qualifications, you're asking for trouble because you're violating the qualifications that are in the word. All right. Now, 1 Timothy, let's see. 1 Timothy chapter 5, let's go there. Just over a page or so, and verse number 17. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now, notice that they rule and they teach. They rule and they teach. So, now this verse is talking about the pastor who is the chief elder. And when it talks about labor, that means it's his occupation. That's what he does. And when you go to verse 18, where it says, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. It's talking about paying the pastor. And the ox is the pastor, the corn is the tithes and offerings. So that's what it says. Then it says in verse 19, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now he's talking about the chief elder. Against any leaders here, don't receive an accusation. So if someone comes in and starts going, well, you do that, you know, at me, I'm going to hold it right there. Let me grab some witnesses. Let me grab some people that can verify what is being said here. Now, my experience has been that people who do that don't want witnesses. They just want to come in and rag on you. Nope, not happening here. Nope, we're going to get, because if you get witnesses, now we can verify what is being said, and we go back to find out, is this actually true? And usually people that are acting this way don't want to be put under the microscope. They don't want someone going, what are you doing? All right. So let's move on here. Now, if Jesus chooses the apostles, who chooses the elders or the bishops? That's a very good question. Because remember, the principle is this: whoever does the calling is in authority over the one who is called. So who is it that chooses the elders or the bishops? Let's go to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, and we're going down to verse 23. Acts 14, 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, they prayed with fasting. They commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Now, the question is, who is the they in this verse? Because whoever the they is in this verse is the ones that chose and ordained the elders in those churches. Okay? So who is the they? Well, if you go back to verse number 11 and 12 of the same chapter, and it says, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Laconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. So Paul's there, and they call Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Oh, so now we see the they in this chapter is Paul and Barnabas. They were the apostles that were sent. They were the ones that were in authority, and they chose them. So elders are supposed to be chosen by the ministry gift that is over that church. In this case, it was an apostle Paul. In other cases, it can be a pastor that is the ministry gift. Most of the time, it is a pastor that is the ministry gift over that church. So in each case, you have the one who is calling, the one receiving the call. Who has authority over who? Jesus has authority over the ministry gifts. Jesus has authority over the pastor. But then the ministry gift, the pastor of the church, has authority over the ones they choose to serve them, the bishops or the elders. So the one who is doing the calling has authority over the one who is being called. That is the principle in the Word of God. Let's go over to Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. Now, this is the verse we started with in this session today, but I want to read it again. It says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete." Who's the I? Paul. Now, Paul was the apostle that started these churches in Crete. Now he is appointing Titus as pastor over these churches. And there's some things Titus has to do. He says that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Paul says, this is what you're supposed to do. So who chooses or ordains the elders in these churches? Titus does. Why? Because he is the pastor. Now, because Titus is the pastor, Titus has the authority to come in and choose the elders and the bishops. Now, in Strong's Concordance, it gives what is called subscriptions for both 2 Timothy and Titus 1, that they ordain or choose the bishops in the churches that they were over. So we see here, following the principle that the one who does the calling, the choosing, is in authority over the one who is called. In this case, it is the pastor, the ministry gift in that church, that does the calling and calls the people to serve as elders. And then, therefore, the elders are under the authority of the pastor, and they rule and teach under the authority that the pastor has given them. Now, they are the ones, the elders should be the ones that are involved in decision-making, because they're involved in the word and they're involved in the church and they know what's going on. Now, what about deacons? Well, we're out of time. So next week, I'm going to get to the subject of deacons. And what are they? In most churches where they elect deacons and do all that, it's not really in line with the word. But we're going to see that. I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to give you all the scriptures and show you step by step. So far, let's sum up what we've covered between last week and this week. The principle in the word is the one who does the calling is in authority over the one who is called. Remember when Jesus said, when he sent the disciples out, he said, if they receive you, they receive me. If they receive me, they receive the one who sent me. Authority all comes from the top down. My authority comes from my Lord Jesus Christ, comes from God. The only authority that I have is God-given authority. Now, the elders in our church, my staff, they have authority to do the things I have told them to do. For example, Dari is our praise and worship leader. She has authority over that whole area. And that authority comes from God through me to her. And she can rule and teach as the leader in that area. And she does a fine job of it. Okay, so we've learned that principle. The one who does the calling is over the one who is called. And then we found that the elders are to be chosen by the pastor, the ministry gift. Now, in some churches, like this one, I'm an apostle as well as a pastor. Some churches have an apostle over them that is pastoring them as well as doing the apostolic work. And then that would apply to them. Whoever is in charge, sent by God, called by God to lead that particular church. So next time we're going to get into deacons, and we're going to get into the different types of church government that are out there right now. And we're going to compare them to what is in the word. We're going to see, do they measure up? Do they not measure up? Very important, because it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we're out of time here. So I'm going to have to let you go. Once again, go to our website, wolife.org. All kinds of freebies on there, videos, our live stream archive, every service from Word of Life for the last year is available on there. Whatever series I've got going, it's available there. Then you go to the free resources, and under there, there's the free audios, and that is over 160 series that I have taught. I preach a lot. I preach somewhere between 250 and 300 and some odd times a year, do a lot of it, and it's all available there. You can either listen or download. There's also links to the podcast, our podcast of the School of Faith, and that has over 100 sessions just on the subject of faith. There's year one and year two that we taught here in the School of Faith, and that is excellent stuff. Now, I would encourage you, if you're just starting, go to year one, session one. Start at the beginning. Don't jump in the middle of the school year. I mean, it's all good, but start with square one so you can learn, because each one builds on the previous. And it's all there to help you. Pastors, leaders, help you, encourage you, strengthen you. If you have subjects you'd like me to cover, feel free to email us. You can go on our website and hit the contact button. That'll get it to us. We just want to help you, strengthen you in the kingdom of God and for the King. We'll see you next week right here on Shepherd Staff.